Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really focusing in on a message from Brother Mike, demolishing strongholds. We've spent some time with it, really trying to pull out the core ideas. And our goal, really, for you listening, is to get practical. What are the key takeaways? How do we as Christians actually, you know, fight back against these opposing mindsets in, well, what the message called today's dark world?
Yeah, it's essential stuff. Because you can't fight effectively if you don't really understand what you're up against. Brother Mike did a great job grounding it. A stronghold, it has two sides, really.
Okay.
Like the dictionary just says a fortified place, right? Simple enough. But biblically, it depends entirely on who holds it. If God holds it, it's a refuge or safe place.
But if the enemy holds it,
then it's danger, a spiritual prison, basically.
And that difference points us straight to the key verse, doesn't it? 2 Corinthians 10.4. Paul's clear. The weapons we use for tearing those enemy strongholds down.
Yeah.
They're not worldly weapons. They have divine power. That phrase, divine power, that's huge. What does that actually mean for us, practically?
Well, that's the heart of it, isn't it? Divine power means it's completely beyond just human effort or strategy. Mm-hmm. The world tries legislation, therapy, policy, sheer willpower. But divine power taps into God himself, his spirit, his truth. His love. The weapons aren't just for fixing symptoms on the outside. They're for destroying the root, the ideology on the inside. It changes the whole game.
Absolutely. So, okay, let's nail down what Paul even means by a stronghold in this spiritual fight. It's obviously not like castles or forts.
No. He's talking about destructive attitudes, mindsets, ways of thinking that are fundamentally opposed to God.
Opposed to his will, his truth.
Exactly. And the message identifies the source very clearly. The adversary, Satan. This isn't just about our own weaknesses playing out randomly.
Right.
It's presented as a deliberate spiritual attack. Satan is actively trying to build these mental defenses, these strongholds, and people and cultures and nations. Why? To turn them away from God.
And looking through the notes, the range of examples Brother Mike gave was pretty vast. He went from huge societal things right down to really personal struggles.
He did. On that bigger scale corporate national prediction, the message pointed to certain broad trends that, from its perspective, push against God's kingdom.
Such as?
Well, for instance, he mentioned what he termed the advance of certain opposing ideologies, or the spread of lifestyles seen as immoral, widespread turn to illicit drugs. It's important to frame this. These were his examples in the sermon.
Okay.
Examples used to illustrate belief systems or structures that, according to the teaching, undermine a Christian worldview.
Got it. So just reporting what the source material highlighted as opposition. He also talked about intellectual strongholds too, right? Idea.
Definitely. Long-standing ones. He specifically brought up the widespread acceptance of evolution, noting it's been taught as fact since, well, at least the late 60s. The point being, these kinds of institutionally accepted ideas can become mental roadblocks, making it harder for people to accept God's truth. They're like barriers made of cement, not stone.
And kind of ironically, those barriers can even pop up inside the church.
Oh, absolutely. The message hit on organizational strongholds, too. Maybe fixed traditions or ways of thinking that aren't biblical, but just stick. He used that light example of getting worked up over carpet color, you know.
Yeah, a distraction.
Exactly. An internal thing stopping forward movement. But it could be any false belief holding the church back from what it's called to do.
Then shifting to the personal level. That's where it gets really raw, doesn't it?
It does. The list was long. Alcohol abuse, pornography, holding on to unforgiveness, the confusion around things like the transgender movement.
He also called out self-pride specifically. A big stronghold, he said.
And even that cultural phrase, just do it, the idea of radical self-will over submitting to God.
That's the tricky part, isn't it? Some of these aren't just conscious choices we make. They're ingrained habits, maybe even part of our personality. We don't even see as a stronghold until it causes real problems.
And that realization throws us right into the next crucial part of the message, actually tearing them down, the demolition process.
Right.
If they're that deep, pulling them down is, well, the message used words like messy and painful.
Because you're ripping out stuff that's been there a long, long time. Often patterns we don't even consciously think about.
Exactly. It takes real discipline.
Yeah.
And the message took us back to Paul in 2 Corinthians 10 again. Remember how he was dealing with those accusations?
Yeah, that he was like tough in his letters, but weak in person.
Right. But Paul explained he was appealing to them first with the meekness and gentleness of Christ. And that wasn't him being timid. It was strategy. Grace, really.
How so? Explain that.
Well, the insight there is Paul wasn't being weak. He was acting like a like a patient authority figure, a judge giving a last chance, or a kind king. He was giving them the opportunity to deal with the strongholds themselves before he had to show up and use his full apostolic weight. His gentleness was actually a warning shot.
And that connects directly to us, how God deals with us.
Precisely. He appeals first. He gives time, conviction, patience. He lets you see the issue, lets you try to overcome it before he might have to bring discipline or be so bold, as Paul put it.
So the question becomes, do you take the hint and start the work, or do you wait for things to get more forceful?
And to show just how forceful, how painful that correction can sometimes be, Brother Mike shared that incredibly open story about himself.
Yeah, that was powerful.
His own big stronghold. That attitude of, I want it my way because, you know, I think I'm right. He admitted this pride caused him huge problems over the years.
And it took a confrontation to break it.
A tough one. He mentioned a man named Siav confronting him, and it was not gentle. It hurt. But that pain forced him to look hard at himself, to see he'd been way out of line, totally prideful.
That really highlights it. God might appeal gently, but sometimes the actual demolition needs that sharp external push that feels uncomfortable.
It does. And it led to him having to publicly say, I was wrong. Asking for forgiveness. And it wasn't instant either. He said it took serious thought.
Right.
And later, even dealing with old family conflicts, apologizing for his part in those too. Getting rid of pride isn't just saying sorry once. It's sustained, often painful, action, and really owning it.
Okay, so if the demolition hurts, what do we actually fight with? Let's move to the weapons. The divine power arsenal. There's a stark contrast drawn between worldly methods and God's provision.
Huge contrast. The world's solutions, even the best-intentioned ones, they just skim the surface. They only deal with symptoms.
Like the examples he gave.
Exactly. New laws against terrorism, needle exchanges to slow AIDS, giving out contraception for teen pregnancy.
A message compared it to taking a decongestant for a cold, right?
Perfect analogy. It helps the stuffy nose, the symptom, but it doesn't touch the actual cold virus, the root cause.
So the world methods might lessen the visible damage for a bit, but the stronghold, the underlying spiritual or ideological issue, it's still there, ready to cause problems again.
Precisely. But the divine arsenal, that's designed to go after the stronghold itself. Paul mentions the Holy Spirit's gifts, sincere love between believers. Those are vital. But the message really zeroed in on the Christian armor from Ephesians 6. Putting that on is described as a conscious, deliberate act. You have to choose to suit up.
It's not automatic. You have to intentionally put each piece on, knowing what it defends against. It's active, not passive.
Think about what each piece does. The belt of truth, that's your foundation, holds everything together. It fights those intellectual strongholds, the lies we believe, by grounding us in God's actual word.
Okay.
Then the breastplate of righteousness protects the heart, our core, guards against moral strongholds, porn, addiction, pride, because we're covered by Christ's righteousness, not our own floozy efforts.
And the shoes of the gospel of peace.
Yeah.
They keep us moving forward with the right mission, right? Not getting bogged down in conflict ourselves.
Exactly. Preventing us from becoming a stronghold of strife.
Yeah.
Then the shield of faith. That's crucial, kind of the all-purpose defense.
Against the flaming arrows.
Yeah, the lies, the doubts Satan throws to build strongholds of fear, anxiety, unbelief. You have to actively lift that shield, choosing to trust God over everything else screaming at you.
Then the helmet of salvation, covering the mind.
Protecting against despair, false beliefs. It locks in the knowledge that we're secure in Christ, fights those mental battles.
And the one offensive weapon.
The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. When you identify a stronghold, say, unforgiveness or that stubborn pride, you declare war, and you use God's word specifically to cut out the lie and implant the truth.
This all builds towards the ultimate victory, doesn't it? The message really brought that home.
It did. Brother Mike reminded us the very first, the biggest stronghold of all was sin and death itself. Romans 5.12 says it captured everyone, starting with Adam.
But Christ demolished it.
Completely. By living without sin, he was outside its power. Then, by dying and rising again, he broke its hold forever. Sin and death don't have the last word.
Romans 5.21, grace reigns now, bringing eternal life.
That's the ultimate demolition, and we tap into that victory personally when we follow the command. Take every thought captive to Christ.
That's the ongoing battle, then, taking thoughts captive.
It's the daily work of demolishing those internal strongholds. It starts with belief, like John 20.31 says, believing Jesus is the Christ. but it continues with that constant conscious effort, arresting wrong thoughts, submitting rebellious ideas to Jesus's authority.
So the final takeaway, the call to action from the message, is really direct.
Very. Be brutally honest with yourself. Face your weaknesses head on and give them completely over to Christ. By committing to take every thought captive, we actively dismantle the strongholds trying to rule our lives.
And then that beautiful turnaround at the end. Back to the definition of stronghold.
Right. Satan uses it as a prison for us. But God offers himself as our stronghold. Psalm 144.2. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold, my deliverer.
What an exchange. From enemy prison to God's fortress.
Incredible. Complete safety and refuge in him.
So as we finish up this deep dive, just maybe reflect on that. A stronghold can be a prison, keeping us stuck in lies.
Mm-hmm.
Or it can be God, our fortress, keeping the enemy out. If you've been living under Satan's lies about who you are, maybe lies about worthlessness or maybe self-sufficiency or even intellectual pride, breaking that down isn't usually a one-shot deal.
No, it's continuous. It's that repeated, deliberate replacing of the lie with God's truth over and over and over again. So thinking about everything we've discussed from Brother Mike's message, maybe ask yourself, what's one specific stronghold in your life you need to declare war on today? And which piece of that divine armor, which weapon are you going to pick up and use first to start tearing it down?